come. And I think we're going to leave. Brother Ronnie and his family have a song, so we're just when Brother Ronnie comes, we'll have him sing. Amen. Just give him a little bit more time to stay a little nervous.
If I can only keep the faith, I'll have strength just to run this race. Oh, I'm looking for my body change.
We're coming up.
Jesus, thank you for that. Give the Lord a clap of praise again. Amen. That was wonderful. Wonderful.
Amen.
Amen. I just enjoyed little Chloe just sitting up here, just holding that microphone like, yeah, I'm the stuff. I had to take a video of her. That was good. Amen. Let's sing this song before we take up our offering. Let's sing this song just a little while. Page 261. Amen. Key of F. 261.
Oh, soon this life will all be over, and our pilgrimage will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey, be at home again with friends. Heaven. gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over, all the beauties there to share.
Just a little while,
oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. And just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Soon we'll see the light of morning. Then the new day will begin. Soon we'll hear the Father calling, come my children, enter in. Then we'll hear a choir of angels singing out the victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live with heaven's throne.
Just a little while,
just a little while to stay here, and just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate.
Soon we'll meet again.
Oh, soon we'll meet again our loved ones, and we'll take them by the hand. Soon we'll press them to our bosom over in the promised land. Then we'll be at home forever throughout all eternity. What a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn will be.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, just a little while to stay here. It's just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in the slow and sinful state. Then we'll see heavenly portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Praise the Lord Jesus.
What a hope that we have, saints. Amen. Praise God. Little Michael. I called you little Michael. Okay. Y'all know better than that.
Yes,
Lord. Amen. Amen. As he passes that, let's just sing the song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Salvation so full and free. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, thank for saving my soul. Oh, thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so pure.
Man, just thank our Father on this Father's Day.
Oh, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so
free. Make me more like Thee.
Make me more like Thee. Jesus, make me more like Thee. Give me a heart that's filled
Thee, Lord.
Oh, make me more like Thee. Jesus, make me more like Thee. Oh, give me a heart that's filled
your desire.
Yes.
Amen. To make him, make us more like Him through His word. Amen.
Amen.
So with that, we're going to have Brother Ronnie come, and I guess he can have his family come up after that. So let's sing "Open the Eyes of My Heart" as Brother Ronnie comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of the glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I forgot to buckle up, so I'll just use this one, I guess. That's all right. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Can I borrow that? My wife would come. Thank you for the songs. Amen. Okay. I never got good enough to use a pick. We haven't practiced this, so just give us some, help us out if you know it. Have I seen the first one?
Yeah. Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I tried to stand, it started to fall. And all those lonely roads that I had traveled on, there was Jesus.
All of my build came crashing to the ground.
Buried in the broken pieces, every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs a man, kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay. Yeah, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus, there was Jesus, in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Oh,
I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it. There was Jesus on the mountain, in the valley.
There was Jesus
in the shadow of the alley.
There was Jesus
in the fire and the flood.
There was Jesus.
Always is and always was, in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Oh, every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it. Searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it. In the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Oh, every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. How many times has he been there when you didn't see him and you couldn't feel him and yet you're still here. Amen. Thank you, musicians. And thank you for my wife for being here. It's good to be here. And thank you for inviting us out and getting to know different ones. And I've known some for some little bit of time and some for a long time. And, of course, my dad I've known for a really long time. Good to be with him on Father's Day. Amen. If we could just stand and open the word. And Brother Joe's a witness because I sent him my notes that we didn't talk.
Nope.
But I almost had a change. he almost walked all over me this morning, but and we live states apart and I had no idea what he was going to preach. We just trust the Lord's in control. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's most of the time when you don't feel him, that's when he's most at work.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and how many times each one of us could say that we would have given up a long time ago or you know, how many of us and ourselves have said, I'll never go back there, or I'm going to give up, or I'm going to walk away, or I'm going to turn back. But I'm looking at you tonight because you're an overcomer. You're still here, and we're still here by the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll just try to see if we can't just kind of fill in a little bit from this morning and talk a little bit about lay and hold. Lay hold. Up here? Okay, so I'll hold it up here. Sorry. I'm used to holding something. I get lay and hold. 1 Timothy 6 and the 10th verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life,
Amen.
Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Keep that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we love you, Lord. Jesus, your words are life to us. And God, we're just asking that one more time, Father, you just come our way. Father, one more time, you just do what you do, Father, and break the bread of life unto us, Lord. There's no words that could be said to encourage or strengthen us, but Lord, it would come from you, Father. And Lord, we're just asking you to circumcise every word. Father, open our hearts to receive, Lord. And Lord, may you have liberty in this place. Lord, may you have liberty in each soul and each mind, Father. Lord, we have nothing to bring and nothing to give, Father. We openly confess that we have great need of you, Lord. We're nothing, Father, just a sinner saved by grace. But Lord, you are the author of the faith, Lord. And Lord, you have started a work in us, Lord, and you said you would bring that to a finish, Father. And Lord, we're trusting in you this afternoon, Father, that you could just give us a little bit more of you, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. So we don't have to be rocket scientists or real smart people to realize that we're living in the end times. We're living at the last of days, and we're living at the fulfillment of all these things. And I believe we're all aware of that, especially as Christians sitting in here tonight. We're aware that this is the culmination of everything that we've lived for, and everything that we've been taught, and everything that generations past have been taught and passed on to their children and their children and their children's children. This is the culmination of that. I believe we can see that. And you can talk to just any old person on the street and they'll tell you something's different. This is the end times. And before you know, they'll ask you, what do you think about the end times? And do you think this could be the end? And there's a groaning amongst the people about what our brother was speaking about today. The whole earth is moving into position, and it all seems to be hinging around one small circle of people. And yet those people do not realize the power that they hold. A lot of times, you know, those people in the middle of that circle, they don't realize really that everything is focused around Christ in them. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not my personality it's hinging on, or Brother Wade's personality, but it's Christ in us. The whole thing seems to be focused around that. And yet in our faith, we seem like we're so insignificant. And if Satan has his way with us, well, he'll have us thinking that we're not worth nothing, and we don't belong, and we're just wandering through, and we just happen to pass through this way. And maybe we're just here because my daddy will get mad if I go somewhere else. But God has a different plan in mind. God didn't just place seed randomly around, but he sowed it into those that he knew would come forth at the end and fulfill that word. Right? Amen. We know this. But we're living in a great time, not a time of worry, not a time of fear, not a time of nervousness, not a time of rejection, not a time to run, not a time to get scared, not a time to be afraid, but we're living in a time of restoration, where he promised that there would be a time, and it would be at the last day that he would bring restoration to the church. And all those things that we've preached about and all those things that we've taught about would come to a manifestation in our life, where we could see God on the move and we could see God in action. It wouldn't just be words on a paper or a tape that we listen to, but it would be God coming forth into a life. It would be God becoming manifested. And even in ourselves, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we line up our own selves, and we'll never measure up that way. But God elected you. I didn't choose you. You didn't choose you. But God elected you that you would be the manifestation of the fullness of his word. That's big shoes to fill, but God made you to fill them. God created you for that purpose. He thought of you before there was a creation, before there was a time, before there was any fault, or before there was any sin, or before there was any sorrow. He thought of you bringing to manifestation the promise of all things in this hour. I believe we are the seed of Abraham, or the spiritual seed of Abraham, and we will possess all things. It's not a question. It's not up for debate. It's not a maybe so, but we will possess all things. And I believe the believer recognizes that deep in their soul, but they're clouded over sometimes. Sometimes we get a little shell around us, and we get a little nervous spirit on us, or we get a little anxious spirit on us, and we're afraid to step out by faith. But that's exactly why Satan has attacked us with that fear, because he doesn't want us to recognize who we are and what place we have, what position we hold, what authority given. But there's a day coming when the authority will be recognized. I believe we're in that day. If we could just use this scripture for reference, it's in Joel chapter 2. We know it. The Bible says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore," this is the Lord speaking, "and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." Now, I might read that scripture and I might think differently if it was just some man promising those things. Or if it was just, you know, a great king somewhere promising those things. But the Lord God Almighty has sent us a promise in this day. Now, a lot of years have been stolen from the church of God. A lot of years have been taken and a lot of scars have been added and a lot of distress and a lot of peril and a lot of defeat and a lot of sickness and a lot of poor health but there's a new day coming. He said, "I will restore all the years. All those years that you fought that sickness, I am bringing a restoration unto you." It's not a promise from me. It wasn't a promise from William Branham or from the prophet Joel, but it was from the Lord God Almighty. I will do it myself. I will come and I will restore those things which have been taken from you. I believe we're living in the greatest time that there ever has been. There's never been an eye see what we're seeing in this day. There's never been a soul commissioned to complete what we're commissioned to complete in this hour. Now Enoch is what we look to, but he was just one man walking with God so much. A man that the Brother Branham would say, you can get so on fire for God that Satan doesn't know what to do with you. Enoch walked with God so much that there was no room for the dragon to work in him. There was no room for the serpent to work in his life because he was walking and striving with the living word. Now I ask you, what difference is our life today? Enoch wasn't given some great thing that was unreachable for us today, but he was walking with the living word. Walking, talking, fellowshipping with the living word. We're given the same promise in this hour. Restoration is promised to come to all things, but you have to recognize your day and its message. And I know I'm preaching to well-taught, so if you can just fill in the blanks and I know that you know where I'm going, but you are a chosen people. Maybe I'll just slow down for a second. You are a chosen people, elected, called. And we read that and we think, well, that's wonderful. But that comes with an authority.
That's right.
That comes with a power.
Amen.
We don't have to take what the devil gives us. We don't have to take a back seat. We don't have to back up and say, well, we'll just have to endure with this. But the battle is overcoming. The battle is looking beyond what's in front of us and looking to what we don't see. The promise given out there. By faith, Abraham saw these things. And by faith, Abraham walked. And by faith, Abraham received a body change. Because he was looking to the unseen. He wasn't looking at this flesh. He wasn't looking at this corruption, but he was looking that one day this must put on incorruption. If we can get to that same faith, but we have to recognize what day we're in. You see, God has a time and he has a place and he has a day, and we cannot look back and blame those that have gone before us. It wasn't the time yet. It wasn't time to crack the wheat yet, but now is the time. He said, now in this day, it will be revealed unto you. He said, in this last day. Friends, if this isn't the last day, then what's going on out here? There's wars and rumors of wars, and men's hearts are failing for fear, and there's false prophets arising, and everything that was prophesied to come is on the earth. And even our prophet would say that, up here, we're not waiting on anything else to come.
That's
But it's already being fulfilled. Now, I believe by prophetic vision, he saw this church assembly here. He saw us sitting here and he saw our lives. He said, we're not waiting on anything else, but it's already being manifested in the bride. It's already coming into body form where we can touch it and we can feel it and we can see it and we can fellowship with it. That's the age that we're living in. An age like no other age before. Some of those people were thought of in the mind of God to be martyrs. They were thought of in the mind of God to come so close, but not far enough, because there would be a chosen time for a chosen people that would bring restoration of all things into the church. We can't just pick and choose what we want to bring back into the church. We can't just take our pet doctrine and bring it in and just restore that unto me. But God said all things will be restored. But we have to recognize the day that we're living in. He says, Lord, here we are again on the third. This is the lifetime. Three is the number of life. And here we are ready for the rapture. The church is moving on. The great scientist world, the church is today setting full of skeptic believers, tens of thousands with their names on the book. Yes, millions. And would laugh at the gospel and say that they're uneducated. They don't know. Maybe that's so, Lord. But what we lack in education, you make up in grace. By sending your angel of light, by manifesting his power, confirming the words to those who are poor and illiterate as we. But we love you for this, because it's the grace of God that has did it. And we know that we were born. You got to have that phrase down. And we know that we were born. We're not lovely at all. We're very unlovely. But thou, through grace, reach down thy merciful hand and has opened our eyes. As Jesus prayed for us, as Elijah did for Gehazi, as he looked to see around him, and today our eyes are open. And we see the things of God and know we're moving at the end time. When the Gentile people's days are about finished, he'll take a people for his name. Let us be included there. Amen. Lord, humbly we beg, we pray that you'll grant it. Amen. Right. He's taken a people. It's not by our education. It's not by our theology. It's not by our great revelation, but it's by his grace. It's by his grace that we're saved. I thank God for that, because if it was up to me and my smarts and my ability to figure it out, I'd be lost. I'd be like we were the other day trying to figure out Brother Joe's little puzzles, you know, just a question in the mind. Well, it's got to unlock somehow, but I'm just not the guy to figure it out. I just don't know how to do it. But thank God it's by grace. Amen. And he called you by name.
Yes, that's right.
Now maybe you haven't heard your name called audibly, but you're sitting in here. You've been presented with a light. He said, we overcame because you sent your angel of light and you manifested your power through him. Now, you can't unhear what you've already heard. You've already been presented with the truth. You've already been presented with these things that we believe in, and we know that God sent a prophet, and we know that he came and did the signs and wonders, but we know what he preached, that there would be a people. And you, no matter how far you run away from that, no matter how far you deny that he was a prophet or the word was vindicated or that he was authorized to do what he did, you cannot unhear the fact that he said there would be a people that will take this word and they will bring it to manifestation. It's not manifesting time. It's manifested time. I believe we're in the age where we are moving up into that realm. That realm is moving down, and remember that song? We'll speed up and they'll slow down, and we'll just get hand in hand with them. That dimension is so close. If it was only 15 feet away back in 1963, how close is it now? That dimension is slowing down to our speed, and we're speeding up to it. And just very soon, there will be, I saw those pictures down there in the basement. Just very soon, any day, it might be a fairy tale to somebody, but I'm a believer that very soon there will be an 18-year-old woman walk through that door there. There will be somebody that we've seen gone on before, and you might think you get a little excited now, and we might think we may get a little overexcited, and you say, why is this guy up there yelling, and why is he screaming, and why is he spitting? Because I've seen into that dimension. I know it's real. I brought back grapes from that, and I can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm not preaching this from somewhere I've never been, but I've been over there, and I've seen what God can do in his power and his might, how he can save a sinner, how he can save a good old hypocrite, how he can save just a message Pharisee raised in the message and sitting on the front pew and saying amen when you're supposed to say. But God can even save that. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to break you. He knows how to mold you to get your attention. But we must recognize our day. and its message. Jesus said it'll be the same thing at the coming. Oh, then the evening light of Malachi 4 comes shining through the darkness, amen, to bring the evening light on the predestinated word. On who? The predestinated word. Hallelujah. That's the fourth message to be. That's the fourth messenger, to shine the light on the word. The word is predestinated. It has to come forth. When God gives a prophecy, there's not a devil. There's not a team of devils. There's not a hundred devils. There's nothing that could stop that from coming to pass, because God gave a prophecy. So when I read this, I don't think, well, maybe there's a people far out somewhere that's going to do it. I read this and I say, God said that no matter how many devils come against me, no matter how many sicknesses attack my body, no matter how many depressions attack my mind, I will come out. I am that lily. No matter what you plant on top of me, I'm going to spring forth life, because there's a seed in there that no man put in there, that no doctor put in there, but God himself planted in there before the foundation of the world. And he said, you will be an overcomer. That's me. That's you. Well, who else? Who else is going to fulfill these scriptures? But it falls on the predestinated word. He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. I will restore, right? The evening lights come shining through. Now, it's not light. It's lights. Evening lights. Now, there once was a man that came, and he was the evening light, and he brought a truth, and he brought a vindicated word, but it didn't stop there. He said, now there will be evening lights. Those that actually picked up what I was saying, those that actually believe what I'm saying, and they can manifest it in their life. It's not just a fairy tale for some other time, but there's evening lights sitting here, I believe. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 comes in two phases, right? There's questions asked in the morning, and there's answers given at night, in the evening time. The questions are asked in the morning of the day. Matthew 24 took place on a Tuesday. It's the third day of the week. You have to recognize your day, and I'm not an over-typologist, but these things are important. It was on a Tuesday. The disciples started asking, and the prophecy came forth that the seals would be opened. That these seals would be delivered, and they wouldn't just be locked up, and they wouldn't be hidden in parables, and they wouldn't be, but there will come a day. And he said, and at that day, if you ask in my name, and that was at the evening of the third day. So I ask you, what day are we living in? You got to know what day you're living in. So many things can transpire in just a few moments. So many things can change in just a twinkling of an eye. What day are we living in? There was questions asked in the morning, and there was answers given in the evening. There was a prophecy gone forth, and there was a fulfillment given. Just in one day's time, in the evening light. I think about another third day, when it was the third day that was promised that there would be one resurrect. Now that day is also broken up into two stages. I know we're studiers of the message and we know these things, but there's two stages to that day as well. And on the first day, nothing. Just death. Second day, death. Of course, the prophet goes into this, Martin, Luther and Wesley. No life. No life. At the beginning of the third day, there was a rumor. There was a rumor went forth that he was alive. There was a rumor went forth that he had resurrected, and that the stone had rolled away from the tomb, and there was a rumor that he was open, but there was two parts to that third day. And I think of it like this, just real simple. I'm just a real simple guy, that Cleophas and his friend were walking on the road to Emmaus. I love that. It never mentions who he is. But actually, Brother Branham tells us it was Cleophas and his friend. The Bible says Cleophas and another. Cleophas and his friend were walking, and they were talking, and they were visiting on these things, and there was a rumor going around that there would be a resurrection. And they knew him in flesh. They walked with him, they talked with him, they ate with him, they fellowship with him, but yet there was still doubt in their heart. Well, what are these things, and what disparity are we into? And can I just be personal with you? That's how the devil works. We'll ask for many things in our life. We'll have prayed for many things, and we'll be seeking miracles, and we'll be seeking signs, and they don't come to pass the way that we want them, and they don't come to pass in the time that we want them. And then the devil creeps in. with that unbelief. And he'll creep in with depression. And he'll creep in with that anxious spirit. And you'll get so nervous in yourself, you don't know whether to trust God at his word or not because it hasn't happened in the time that you thought it would happen. It didn't happen just the way that you thought it would happen. And the devil's right there. Quick to argue about it. Quick to bring out the faults and say, well, what about this and what about that? And look at this over here and look at the back parts of Israel, as the scripture says, and look at the faults happening in the church and look at the separation there and the spirit of division and this one's off here and this one's off there. And before you know it, you feel so isolated. You don't want to leave your own home and you just want to stay by yourself because you feel anywhere you go is treacherous ground. But God said he would restore all things, all the years that your mind has lost, and it's not lost out there somewhere, but all the years that you've given over to the devil, just anxious in yourself, unsure of your faith, unsure to step out on God's word and say, that promise is mine. All the years that have slipped by, worry not, they're going to be restored. If not us, then who? We must recognize the day that we're living in. And so these two were walking on the road. They begin to talk about these things. They begin to say, is he resurrected really? Is this word really alive? Is it come back? And, you know, they took 100 men to roll that stone in front of the tomb. Now it took 100 men to roll that stone in front of the tomb. And there's no way he could have got out in there. Just think about it. These are just men like us that have rational thoughts like we do. We think, how impossible would it have been for Peter and John to roll away a stone that took 100 men to do it? But when the evening light comes, it doesn't matter how big the stone is. You might have 100 denominational powers behind you to tell you that this goes this way and you can't access that and you can't get there and rapturing faith is out of grasp. But it just takes one light, one evening light to come through and roll away the stone. It doesn't matter what's in front of you. It might have taken 100 men to put that stone in front of you. You might have been in and out of church and you might have had this preached to you and that preached to you and falseness and false doctrine and you feel that your foundation is weak and it's crumbling. It doesn't matter if it took if you went through 100 churches. It just takes one light. One light to roll away the stone. The third day is the first day that life would come on the earth. Genesis 1:11. The third day is the day that Abraham offers Isaac as a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is accepted, and a ram comes forth. You see, you got to recognize the day that you're living in. The third day is the day that God comes down in a pillar of fire and begins to speak directly to Israel by thunders and lightning. And that's the day that he brings forth the Ten Commandments. On the third day. On the third day in Leviticus and Numbers and those Old Testament scriptures, the third day was when the sacrifice was to be accepted. Touch not the sacrifice until the third day when it's accepted. Friends, what day are we living in? There's a day when there's going to be a people come to authority that recognize the day that we're living in, the message we've been given, the light that we're walking in. It's not just something to debate about. It's not just something to have quote wars back and forth about and I'm right and you're wrong. But this is a vindicated word to a vindicated people. And I don't know who's going to be in front of me, but I'm going to receive everything. You got to get out of my way. That's for me. I don't care what you look like in front of me. I don't care how big the mountain is. I don't care if the stone took 100 men to roll in front of it. That vindicated word is for me. That's a promise for me. That's a victory in my camp. We've got to recognize it was in the book of Esther, the 5th chapter, on the third day that she would put away her robes, her sackcloth, that she would put away her robes of mourning, her robes of nervousness, lay it aside, and she would enter into the king's room and he would grant her authority. Esther was given authority on the third day. Where are we, church? Esther had to go beyond what she felt like. Had to go beyond her physical faith and go beyond what she could do in her own power. She said, he's either going to take me or he's going to kill me. But she knew that there was something there. When he first looked at her in that room and there was something in his eye that told her, he loves me. I'm going to go in and receive my authority. And you know what? Esther received up to half of the kingdom. She recognized her day. Friends, we've got to recognize where we're living. What day is this? This is not just another day, just another Sunday, just the 20th here, another Father's Day, but this is the final day. Young people, don't be despaired by this and think, well, I'm not going to get to live my life and I'm not to get to live it to the fullness. But God thought of you for that purpose, because you can handle it, because you were made for it. You were given a flesh body to fulfill that purpose, because you were made for this generation. You were made to be an overcomer in this age, when it's the darkest age. You have to go through many things that I did not have to go through. I remember when texting and phones first came out, I was a teenager already. But it's been here since then. This generation that's coming up is going through things that we could never imagine that they would have to go through. But you were made for it.
That's right.
You weren't just made to go through it. You were made to overcome it. You were made to be victorious on the other side. God's not going to lose one. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't lost place of you, but he knows exactly where you're at, and he's going to bring his word to fulfillment in your life. Is that all right? Walking in the third day. Hosea the sixth chapter. If we could turn to that, or you could pull it up. Remember, we're talking about lay and hold.
Right.
What day are we living in?
Yes, sir.
You got that up there? Yeah. Sorry if I get a little excited, but just how it comes out with me.
Six one.
Well, I got a new Bible on the way down here. It's not really broken in. Don't cheat. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. You didn't read that wrong. He hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. We're going through many struggles. We've been through many battles, and we've been through hardships I couldn't imagine. There's older believers in here that have been through trials I could have never imagined I'd go through. I don't have kids old enough to be praying for that they'd come back into the fold, and I haven't gone through some of those trials, but the Lord has torn. The Lord did it. Not just your inability or your lack of faith, or don't let Satan say it was your unbelief or your mistakes or you turned the wrong direction, but the Lord had torn, but he promised he would heal. The Lord has smitten, but he promised he would bind it up. The Lord has done these things, and he said, after 2 days will I revive. That's not an empty promise, but we saw a revival after 2 days. We're in a revival that started at the second day. Something that God promised would come. He said, I'll tear it apart. I'll rip it apart, because I'm going to polish it fine. But I'll heal it. I'll heal the wound over. I'll smite it, but I'll bind it up. And then I'll revive it. Remember, I will restore. But in the third day, what day are we living in, friends? In the third day, I will raise it up. I will raise up a people that will manifest the very works, that will manifest the very word that I promised. Not just an empty letter, but a manifestation in power and demonstration. And God did not take Mark 16 out of the Bible. He did not take the 9 spiritual gifts out of the Bible. If anybody took that out, it was man, and it was man alone, because God changes not. Those things are still in the Bible. Am I right? Those things are still in Hebrews 13:8. God changes not. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That did not die in 1965. The ability for God to heal. I've seen God do so much in just my short life. I've seen him do miracle after miracle after miracle. And you don't need to be overseas to see it. It can happen right here in America. It can happen right here in your life. It can happen right in your own family. I think just in the moment, if I could just share another brother's testimony. That's all right. I have a friend, brother Wayne Lawson, maybe know him, and he was preaching in Louisiana one Wednesday night. Just seemed like an insignificant Wednesday night. He was actually down there to work on the church for the new building. So he wasn't even down there to preach. And they said, well, you're going to preach for us. And he was just preaching a regular old message. And he began to preach and just barely touched on the prodigals. Just touched on the prodigals. But a young sister there, maybe you know this story, young sister there rose up and came up in the prayer line. They had a prayer line for 2.5 hours on a Wednesday night. You gotta want it. And that sister began, came up, just a young girl, and she said, I want to stand for my brother. He's out in the world, he's fallen away from church, he's forgotten the faith, he's just a young man and he's troubled, and I just want to stand for him and claim that promise. Yeah. And they began to pray over him and the brothers, and she went on and began to kneel at the altar and pray. Yeah. And about 20 minutes later, a car rolls up in the parking lot. And a guy runs out in his pajamas. The doors open in the car. He took out a stop sign in the way in the parking lot. And he runs in the church in his pajamas and runs up to the front of the church and openly gives his heart to the Lord. And it was that girl's brother. Now you tell me, what did that? He goes to Brother Tim's, if you want to ask him. He still goes to church. His name's Justin. He said he woke up in the middle of the night and his family wasn't home, and it was Wednesday night and they were supposed to be home, and here it was midnight. Nobody was home. And he said they were at church. He said, I missed the rapture. I missed it. And he said a fear gripped him so tight. He said, I knew the truth. I knew that it was the truth. I knew that that was the right thing, and I've missed it. He ran to his car and he drove as fast as he could to the church and gave his heart to the Lord. Now you ask me what did that, but a light came forth. A light woke him up. It was the evening light. If God could do it for Justin, God can do it for you. If God could do it for Justin, he could do it for your son and your daughter and your loved one and your cousin and your mother and your father. He could do it for whoever, whosoever will. We got to recognize what day we're living in. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now, a right now gospel. Those things did not die back in the day. You've been around. This is a missionary-minded church. You probably have more testimonies than I do. But just in my short life, I've seen God do amazing things. Heal families. Heal marriages. Restore bodies. Straighten out crooked legs. Raise people from wheelchairs. Raise people from the dead. Yes, in this day, in this hour we live in. Why? Because He's God, and He changes not. His Word changes not. It's just as powerful today as it was 75 years ago. It's just as powerful today as it was when He walked in the flesh and He ate with the disciples and He said, if thou will be clean, thou can be clean. It's just as powerful today. I was in a meeting in Uganda some time ago, and a young man came up for prayer, and he had epilepsy. He said he had it since he was 4 years old. He was about 22 years old. Said he's had it since he was four. Just break into seizures and just, you know, have a, you know what it is, epilepsy. And he had seizures so strong that his eyes were loose in his head and his eye would roll back. Didn't speak English. Had to speak through an interpreter. Had never been to a Methodist church before. I don't even know if he'd been to a Christian church before. He actually came in from Kenya, brother. He came over from the Kenya border into Uganda, and he said, somebody invited me and went out and witnessed to me and said, if you come to these meetings, you'll meet the Lord. And through the interpreter, he said, I don't know all everything you've been preaching, and some of it's confusing to me. He said, but if that God that you're preaching can heal me, then I'll believe him. And I just used the words of the prophet right back at him. I said, if what I preach to you is the truth and God will vindicate himself to you, will you serve him and love him all your days? Would you believe this is the truth with all your heart? Because he'll heal you if you want it. And you know that I wouldn't be telling this story if he didn't get healed. And the men of God, we began to lay our hands on him. We began to pray and we began to rebuke that spirit. And that spirit got up out of him and left him. And his eyeball went straight. His eyeball went straight in front of him. The same God today as he was then. He's still Hebrews 13:8. If he can do it for him, what could he do for you? If he could do it for somebody that doesn't know anything about it, he just walks in blindly to the faith and he says, oh yeah, I'd receive it if he'd heal me. What about you who know these things? Who know that God's a healer? Who know that God's a savior? Who know that God has touched you? He sparked something in your life, and maybe it's been years gone by since your last Holy Ghost experience, but he's still the same God today. He still lights fires. He still releases the captive. He still sets free. I'm a witness. Me and Brother Joe were talking about living witnesses that were there to see these signs, and when Brother Branham was here in the cloud and these different things. And as I went to bed that night, I was just thinking, man, that would have been awesome. And something just came by me and said, you are a living witness. I am a living witness that this message is the truth. I am a living witness that it's still the same word today as it always has been. It still has the same power today as it always has. It's by our faith, church. Cleophas and his friend were walking along the way, discouraged. Discouraged in themselves. A great trail of discouragement. And then a light comes forth. And one of them just starts walking along with him. Where'd he come from? He just came out of the bushes, seemingly. That dimension just... And he begins walking with him. Well, what are you talking about? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean, what are we talking about? Do you not know? Are you a foreigner? Are you from another world? And he says, what things? What things? Friend, that's what it's like when we're just so troubled in our mind and we see no way out. And there the Son of Man is standing in our presence. There he's here. He meets us. He meets us every time we come together. He meets us every time we call on him. And yet our battle is still too hard for him to overcome. What things? What was that again that was so troubling to you? What was that again that was driving you to the end of your rope and you're just about to give up? What was that? What things? There you go. And they began to tell him, well, these things. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that so? They began to fellowship and he began to just drop little nuggets to him.
That's right.
Here and there. Here and there. Remember, this is the second stage of the third day in the evening time.
Man.
They began to walk. You know how far it is to Emmaus?
Come on.
7 miles. They begin to walk 7 miles and just little nuggets begin to get dropped out and little faith building things and little things that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And just like the Shunammite woman, he can come to you and just these little things. And he began to go back to all the prophets had taught and begin to encourage their hearts. That's why we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All that the prophets had taught. And begin to encourage their hearts. And they begin to rise up in faith. And they begin to walk down the road. And all of a sudden they really like this guy that came out of nowhere seemingly. And it's time for him to go. But you know what they did? They laid hold of him. They didn't let him go. They said, come visit with us and come in to sup with us. And I wonder how many times that he's been right here in the middle of this aisle and we haven't constrained him to come to our problem and to come to our need and to come to our household and to come fix our marriage and to come fix our thoughts. How many times has he walked right by us and we just let him go? But you got to lay hold. He won't walk by forever, but he's here today. His grace is still open today. We've got to lay hold of the manifested word of God. He's here. He's not coming. He's here. And they constrained him to come in. Cleophas and his friend. And it was by the way he broke the bread, right? The prophecy was fulfilled by the way that he broke the bread unto them. They received the same authority as Esther did by the way he broke the bread unto them. Recognizing what day we're living in. And in the third day, I will raise it up. They knew there was something different about him. They could feel a different presence in him. They could feel something different in just the faith that was given to them. But when he broke the bread in the evening time, their eyes were opened. What day are we living in? Remember in John 16? He gives the same prophecy. He says there's coming a time, yet a little while. The world will see me no more, but you shall see me.
Amen.
And in that day, friends, we're not living in somebody else's day. We're living in our day. This is our time. This is our moment. Where's our faith at? I know it's in there. I can preach to you straight because I know God put you here to be an overcomer. There's got to be something that will activate our faith, that will let us rise up and say, I'm not going to take what Satan gives me, but I am a child of God. I'm a daughter of God. I don't have to take what Satan gives me. He doesn't have dominion in my mind, or God said I could have a sound mind. Now, I don't know everybody here enough to preach to your problems, but I know the Lord is, he's able. Maybe some of us are battling with confusion in our mind, and maybe somebody's come and sown some seeds of unbelief and some discord and we're unsure. And even in our mind, we'd never admit it, but we're questioning.
Yeah. Come on.
But you know, it just takes one light.
Yeah. Right.
One light to pierce through that darkness.
Right.
One light to set it up. Brother Branham said that the hardest thing for God to do was to get one mortal man to believe another.
Right. Exactly.
But yet that seems the easiest thing for Satan to do. He just spread a little, drop a little line here, and before you know it, it's this huge rumor out there somewhere. Sow a little discord here, and before you know it, the people are weak in faith, and you know, just sow a little negativity there, and seems to be real easy for him to do. But we are an elected people. We were designed. Brother Bram said that you were predestinated to receive him in this age. In this age, we were designed to receive this word. We were built to receive this word. We were made to receive it. We were made to manifest it. Not anybody else. Us. Seems to be easy for Satan to come in with an unvindicated word and unvindicated ministry and sow seeds of doubt, and before you know it, our mind starts teetering.
That's right.
Tempted in all things. If thou be. If thou be the Son of God. If thou be. Who did that? Who was that? Tempted in all things like we are. You know, Brother Branham was walking with a friend one time. I don't know how long I've been up here, but I'm going to cut some of this out. Brother Branham was in a vision. Remember, he was walking with a friend. Never named the friend. Said he was walking with a friend. Can we just read the quote? Then as I sat there a little bit, this is out of Paradox, aside of this chair, then all of a sudden hear it come again. Then I knew that it was a vision. And then when I come into the vision again, it seemed that I was lifted up and sitting on a highway, a narrow way, with some brother. I never knew who the brother was. I looked around, I said, now I am sure and know this is the vision. The Lord God is here. And it seemed like everybody was afraid. I said, what's everybody so afraid of? Almost like Brother Branham was stepping into a situation where it was already unfolding and it was already going on, and he comes down into in a vision into the middle of a situation where everyone is afraid. And a voice came and said, there is such danger in these days. There's a great hideous thing that's death when it strikes you. And I heard the weeds mashing down, trail of the serpent. And I looked, and here come a huge monster snake crawling through the weeds. And I thought, now knowing this is a vision, then I shall see what this animal is or this beast is. And he crawled up on the highway, and as soon as I got sight of him, I knew it was a mamba. Now a mamba is an African snake, which is the most deadly bitten of all things there is. There's nothing as poison as a mamba. And the snake, of course, represents sin, death, see, in the vision. Now remember, Brother Bram's an outdoorsman. God speaks to him in things like snakes and squirrels and things of the outdoors and waters and rivers and fish and lures. And this mamba represents something. It's the deadliest thing there is. It's eternal death. Represents sin and death. And there we have this country, the rattlesnake and the copperhead, the cottonmouth moccasin, many of those snakes that if you're in bad health and one would bite you, it would perhaps kill you. If you're weak in faith and one would bite you, it would perhaps kill you. But if you didn't get aid of some sort right away. And then if we go into Africa and India, we find that the cobra, there's a black cobra. He's a bad snake. He's a death bite. There's the yellow cobra, which is far beyond him. And the yellow cobra, the patient dies with such a horrible death. And you think, why am I reading all this? Because God talks in types. It dies from suffocation. It paralyzes the breathing system. And they can't breathe. They just open their mouth and gap and trying to, and die like that. And that was the type of snake, was just one lick from getting Billy Paul when we got the snake in Africa. And then comes the mamba. He's death. He's so fast you can't see him. He goes over the top of the weeds and propels himself with the back of his tail. Just whoosh, and he's gone. Hits you in the face, usually stands up high and strikes hard. And then when he hits you, you just got a few breaths till you're finished. Turn real, it don't only paralyze you, it gets in the bloodstream. It gets in the nerves. everything. You just die in just a few seconds. Them native boys and track boys, you can't say Mamba, and they'll butt their heads together and scream because it's death just in a few seconds. See, when one hits you. I don't know. I'm not a snake expert by any means, but have you ever seen a black Mamba?
Come on.
They're not black.
Yeah.
They're gray.
They're
in between white and black. They're a gray color, an uncertain color. They're something that can blend in real well with anything. But why they call them a black mamba is because when they open their mouth, it's pitch black. It's like outer darkness black. I mean, it's ink black. When they open their mouth, it's something in there is the blackest I've ever seen. If you've ever seen a picture of a black mamba with his mouth open, I mean, it's black black. That's why they're called the black mamba. But in color, they seem like they're not that dangerous. They're not brightly colored. They're not yellow. They're not this glossy black. They're just a gray snake. But yet they possess the most deadly bite. Now, why is that?
Come on.
You know, when a mamba bites you, its venom is going straight to your heart. It works on the nervous system, and the nervous system is the fastest way that it can get to that heart muscle. It works on your nerves. Come on.
Come on.
God never intended for you to be afraid or for you to be sad. There you go. That's black black. Right on, Brother Joe. Man, nasty. I'd be afraid. I'd be scared of it. But God talks in types.
Yeah.
So why would he use something like that?
Right.
Something that just blended in with everything else. In fellowship maybe with everybody else.
Right.
Brother Bram said he would send somebody that would have a toxin with him and come into fellowship and rub shoulders and visit and talk and shake hands and hug and get a relationship and you exchange phone numbers and all of a sudden, whoo, he's a black mamba. Mamba's venom is cardiotoxic, leading directly to the heart. Stands up like a man when it strikes too. And here he was on the highway and I thought, well, this is it. So I looked at him and he looked angry at me and he licked his tongue. And here he come. But when he got right close to me, he would run up fast and then he would get slower and slower and just quiver and stop. Then something would hold him off. He couldn't bite me. He would turn around on the other side, try to approach from this side, and he would get back and get a start and swish right towards me and get slower and slower and slower and then to a stop. And then he would shake like that and move back. He couldn't strike me. Remember one time when a snake like that struck a prophet of God before? It didn't end well for him. Remember that? Remember when Paul reached his hand and he was gathering wood and they say it was an adder, possibly a mamba, struck him on the arm and he shook it loose. You know, Brother Brown said he couldn't die because his blood was too rich. That snake had a fear in him of something that was inside that man. Even in a vision, something inside that man was so fearsome to that snake. Mambas don't back down to anything. You go out in the wild, they don't run, they don't retreat, because they are the ultimate predator out there. But when it came to a prophet of God who recognized his authority, who knew where he was standing, that snake couldn't do it. Couldn't get to him. Couldn't attack him. He'd already made that mistake once. Remember on Calvary? When he made that mistake and he said, now I've got him, I'm going to cut right into him, I'm going to get him. And his stinger was pulled out. Watch this though. And then he turned and looked at my friend. And away he went after my friend. And I see my friend just jumping way in the air and over him trying, and the thing was striking at him. I thought, oh, if it ever hits him, it'll be an instant death. No wonder everybody's so scared. Because when this thing hits you, it's an instant death. And it was just striking at him like that. And I threw my hands at him. I said, oh God, have mercy on my brother. I said, if that serpent ever strikes him, it'll kill him. And just then the serpent turned to me when I said that and looked at me again. And a voice came from above and said, you have been given power to bind him, the worst or any.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Come on, friends. Where'd that voice come from? You have been given power to bind him, or worse, or any. And I said, well, God, what must I do? And I've heard this quote just preached to me and preached to me and preached to me, and myself just feeling so condemned. And he said, there's one thing you must do. You must be more sincere. See, you must be more sincere. And I've been stuck there for so many years. I had been stuck there. I've got to be more sincere. It's by my works. I've got to get there. I've got to crawl on my knees. I've got to bear a cross. I've got to, you know how we do in our mind. You know, we think, I've just got to be so spiritual. But look how the prophet settles it. I said, well, God, forgive me for my unsincerity and let me have sincerity. And when I raised up my hands to him again, there was a great something came over me, just lifted me up, seemed like that. My whole body was charged with something. Now, you can't get upset at me for getting a little excited in church, because I've had connection with my theophany a time or two. I know that it's out there, and I felt its touch a time or two. And you know what Brother Brown says? It energizes you. It gives you a jolt of something in your body that you know you made connection with a supernatural being. And you feel like shouting. You feel like getting a little excited. You feel that Holy Ghost power come in your life, because there's a you out there that's not of this world. That's the prophet. Charged with something. And I looked at the serpent, and he started towards me, and he couldn't do it yet. And I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind you. And the serpent, a blue smoke flew out of him, and he curled up and made that sign like a S, capital S made backwards, and an and sign. And means bind this one or anything below him. Because he was the worst. Blue smoke fell out of him, and his tail choked his own self. That's why when you said that today, I got so excited. His tail choked his own self around his head. When he made this S backwards and that sign like a conjunction, you see, it choked it to death, and the brother went free. Questions and answers. Somebody asked Brother Branham, will you please explain to me Matthew 10:41? What is it to have a prophet's reward? What is his reply? He says, you're the friend of a prophet. You see, him and a friend were walking down the highway, and the prophet's reward was to speak for his brother and say, Satan, I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not be ashamed of this message. I will not be ashamed of this messenger. I will not take a back seat and back up on what I believe, because I am a friend of the prophet. Maybe he never knew me, but he came into this vision. He said, I didn't know the brother, but I stepped into a situation and everybody was afraid. What is it to have a prophet's reward? It's not just to rub shoulders with him. It's not to shine his tires. It's not to buy him red hots. I bind you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the snake formed himself like into a pitcher. Remember we read in Revelations earlier this morning, and he cast out of his mouth like waters. He was pouring like a pitcher, like a pitcher, a water pitcher. And he formed into this pitcher. And Brother Bram said, and he just poof, into blue smoke. Yeah. Yeah. To think that the worst of them all was tied up in just a few simple words. Amen. Can I take it out of another angle? And he told me, I had seen a big mamba running. That's an African snake. He was trying to kill people and was after my brother. And I screamed out, oh God, what can I do? He said, you've been given power to bind him. Said, be of good courage. I spoke to him, and his tail went up in the air and whirled around. And just like this pitcher handle here, he choked himself to death. Blue smoke flew out of him. Next morning when I woke up, I was laying there, said, I better get up and take the children to school. I looked over, and there was a hideous looking thing. Looked like it was alley-oop in the funny paper. Great big horns sticking out of it. He was going sound like a hen cackling or singing, like they're going from the barn. And I looked at it. Wasn't that funny? He sounded like a chicken. I said, meet a honey, meet a. She didn't wake up. And I thought, yeah, that scared her to death. I waited there just a minute to stand and watch. People talk about devils and don't even know what they are sometime. That right? But you run headlong into them every day. Maybe, but you will notice. And after a while, He was accusing me.
Yeah.
Said, you have no power with God. How many times has that been thrown across your thoughts? I wouldn't say it's your thought, but it's been thrown across your thoughts.
Amen.
Thrown into your mind. You have no power with God. You're not sincere enough. You're just a bluff. You have no power. And I said, Satan, you're an offense to me. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ. And he left. Now, friend, I don't know what you're at. I don't know where you're at or what you're struggling with. And I really feel that God's just pulling on. There's some people in here that have been bound in their mind. Afraid to step, afraid to walk, afraid to venture out in their faith, afraid to take God at his word, maybe afraid to use a gift that God gave you, afraid to be vulnerable in front of the people of God, afraid of something, but you have the power to bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's not presuming without authority, but it's a promise given by the prophet. You have the power to bind him or any worse thing. We're not venturing without authority. We're not taking a misstep or walking on ice. But this is what we were put here to do. We're dragon slayers. We're snake stompers. Our heels to bruise his head. Our foots to destroy him. My words are to condemn him into hell where he came from. I have been anointed and placed in this age to overcome every devil that lays in front of me. And you have been placed in this age to overcome every devil. Can I get some fathers in here since this is Father's Day? You have been anointed and placed in this age to overcome every enemy that will try to get into your home, that will try to affect your wife, that will try to affect your children, that will try to rob your victory out of your headship of your home. You have been anointed to overcome that spirit in this age. Oh, I'm not sincere. Well, God, forgive me of my insincerity. Lord, make me more sincere. And when I rose up, there was a charge that came inside of me. You've been anointed to overcome in this age. Not just take a back seat and not just be a pew sitter or a good singer or occasionally raise your hand or occasionally say amen. You've been anointed to cast out dragons. You've been anointed to smash the head of serpents. You've been anointed to destroy every sickness that tries to attack your home. Anointed by what? The power of the Almighty God. The greatest power there is on earth. This day. This scripture is fulfilled in our ears. We're not waiting for another time to come. I'm that friend that was walking with Cleophas. And he began to break the word of life to me. And he began to take the veil off of my eyes. And I began to see there's a light. There's a light coming forth. And I heard a voice say, arise, shine, thy light has come. This is your day. This is your time. This is your anointing. Get in the flow of the anointing of God. It's not just for another age far out there, but it's right now. Are we the bride of Christ? Is this not our age? Is this not our time? Is this not an overcoming time? We should be the most victorious people on earth. Of course we're going through battle. Of course we're fighting. But we're victorious. You were predestinated to overcome him in this age. God knows how many struggles you've been through in your life. Untold. Untold hurdles. So many sacrifices made. So many loved ones. Pains you. It hurts you. He's torn. And he's smitten. But he said he'd revive. He said he'd bind up. He said he'd bring restoration. He said we could receive a prophet's reward. You see, what was different about those two is they tarried long enough to see the manifestation of the third pull. They didn't have to fake it. They didn't have to go make something out of it. They tarried long enough with the word until they saw it come to pass in their life. It's in the third day. I believe we're in the evening light. I believe the evening light has come. I believe there's been a light that's shot through the darkness of Laodicea. It's shot through the darkness of this chaos around us when the world seems so uncertain and the government. And don't think that you're settled in yourself. We had an 11-day conflict with Israel and Hamas a while back. That could have been it. That could have been it. I mean, the United States was that close to turning their back on Israel. Under the name of humanity and humanitarianism. This world is setting itself up, but the bride is taking herself up. I'm not of this world. I'm not of this chaos. We have to recognize the day that we're living in. I believe we do as a church, friends. Satan, you're an offense to me. That seems too simple, brother. It worked for him.
That's right.
Not only did it work for him,
good,
it worked for his friend. Satan is attacking the faith in this message so hard.
Yeah.
And we know there'd be a shaking of a tree,
right,
and there'd be those fall away and those stand. But he's shaking that so hard. Why? Because he knows what a prophet's reward is. I can't get to them if they're under the coverage of that light. This evening light, this fourth light that we're living in, will drive back any enemy, drive back any sickness. You might be afflicted in your body, but you don't have to stay that way. You might be fighting a battle in your mind, but you don't have to stay that way. You might be fighting a battle that you've never dreamed that you'd have to fight this hard. But it doesn't have to stay that way. This light that we live in is the gospel light. All power given. If we could just stand to our feet. You know, it was on the third day there. Remember the story of in Memphis? When the prophet was on his way somewhere. Supposedly, you know, he thought he was just moving in the perfect will of God, but God had other plans. And his plane came down and grounded itself, and he began to walk. And, you know, you could go through the whole story and see how he turned this way and turned that way, just listening to the voice, that still small voice. And there he comes across a woman who's leaning over a fence. And she's got an old rag on her head, and she's just out in the morning dew. And she says, she does something that man's done his whole life. She tells him who he is. And she says, "Morning, Parson. I knew you were coming." And she tells him who he is. And they're just like the Shunammite woman. I skipped over this quote, but I'm just going to read this part. They want to know what a prophet's reward is. It's to be a friend to the prophet. See, that's your reward. He's your friend. Like the Shunammite woman. He says, it might come in handy sometime. And she begins to tell him who he is. Said, I prayed, and here you are. And him not knowing where he's at or why he's there or what's going to take place. And they walk inside. And then they find a boy laid out on them. We know the story. He's a boy laid out on the bed, and he's just, "Oh, it's dark. It's dark. It's dark. There's no light." Remember you said earlier, there's no God there. Where was he? Brother Branham had been where that boy was at.
That's right.
"Oh, it's dark. Oh." And she says, this is the third day that he's been like this. She says, "Would you pray?" He says, "Well, why don't you pray first, Mama?" You know, prayers don't have an expiration date. There's a quote, I don't have it here, but it just comes to me now. He said, there's Mama and Daddy's prayers laying up under the altar. And they might be years passed on, But those prayers are still there under the altar. So your grandma might have prayed for you, or your mama might have prayed for you, and she might be long gone, but those prayers are still laying up under the altar. And that mama began to make connection with God, and she began to cry out to God, and he said she had talked to him before. She knew him. She knew how to get in contact with him. She knew how to bring him down. And he said she began to pray out, and he said, Lord, just heal this young boy. And it was on the third day that the boy came out of the darkness. He said, it's starting to get light in here. I'm starting to see light, mama. What is that? It's light. It's light. Every time Brother Branham would bring healing or preach healing to a blind person, what is that? It's light. It's light. It's light. This message is light. We're not to dwell in darkness or to be afraid or to live in fear or to live in regret, but this message is light. The evening light has come. Amen. It's your third day. Friend, you got to recognize your day and its message. Lay hold. Lay hold of it. He laid hold of the beast. He laid hold of the dragon. And by the chain of circumstance. And what was the chain of circumstance? It was prophecy that we would be overcomers. That we would defeat. And they shall overcome him. The dragon in Revelation 20. They shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Friends, if we could just bow our heads this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, your grace, Father. It's greater than all our sins, Father. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. Jesus, we just thank you for your word that you've given to us, Father. That we're not wandering in darkness, Father. We're not wandering in fear, Lord, but you've given us a light in this hour, Lord. A light in this day, Father, that we have a sure foundation, Father. We know where we're going. We know where we came from, Lord. And God, I don't want to ever take that for granted, Father, Lord. One time I was wandering around blind, Father, stumbling into the walls and, Lord, not knowing where I was going, but Lord, you broke the bread unto me, Father, Lord, and you showed unto me the word of life, Lord. Let me never forsake that which you've done for me, Lord, but let me stand for your word, Father. I am not ashamed of your gospel, Father. I am not ashamed of the message in this hour. I'm not ashamed of what you're doing in the lives of the believers today, Lord. Lord, I believe that any true believer can put their name in that place of friend, Father. Lord, you called us not servants, but you called us friends, Lord. I believe that you died for us and you paid the price for us, Lord. And Lord, may we never get too great in our own selves that we forget about Calvary, Father. Lord, and the grace it took, Father, the unmerited favor, Father. Lord, we sing about it, Lord, and we worship about it, Lord. But Lord, may we never forget the sincerity in our heart, Father. Oh God, make us more sincere, Father, Lord. I raise my hand, Father. There's hands raised tonight, Lord, saying, Lord, forgive me of my insincerity, Lord. I've come up against a foe I don't know how to defeat. I've come up against an enemy I don't know how to overcome, but Lord, forgive my insincerity, Lord. Lord, make me more sincere. Jesus, I want to be closer to your word, Father. Lord, I want you to take me up on a higher plane, Father. Lord, I want to lay hold of these promises. I want to lay hold of this word, Father. Lord, I want to recognize what day I'm walking in, Lord. It's not just a time, Father, but it's the evening time. Lord, it's the last day. You said you'd come for your bride just at this time. Lord, we're looking for you to come. Lord, but as we walk this journey, let me just stomp one more snake down, Father. Lord, let me bruise one more serpent's head today, Father. Let me bind one more dragon today, Lord, and say, Satan, you have no hold on the people of God in this building. You have no hold on the families represented here. You have no hold on the loved ones not in this building. You have no hold on the bride of Christ. You have offended me. Satan, you have brought an offense upon this church. You have brought an offense upon this gospel. And we rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God. Jesus, your word is power. Your name is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power
in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's a bride rising up. Oh, there's a bride, she's rising up. Chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's a bride, there's a bride rising up, there's a bride rising up. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, 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 to break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's a bride, there's a bride rising up. There's a chain, to break every chain. There is power, there is power.
Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Oh, there is freedom in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is freedom in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is freedom.
To break every chain, to break every chain. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's a bright rising up. Oh, there's a bright rising up. Break every chain. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is healing in the name of Jesus. For there is healing in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is healing in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
break every chain, break every chain. Greater than all my sins is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. The blood that still cleanses me. It's the place that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater than all my sins is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. Walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Is the blood that still cleanses. cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. I praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Oh, greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free to praise Him. I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior. Oh God my Savior. God. To our God, every praise, every praise.
Savior, Jesus is. For you see the healing, the deliverance, what they have made of.
Is to our God.
Message is today that our brothers have brought to us. We just enjoyed having a good time this weekend. We say to you that are the first time you're here, and all we always say welcome to you because you're a visitor, you know, if it's first time coming. But then the next time you come, you're just part of us. So that don't matter. We don't have anything to join anyway, so we're just part of the body of Jesus Christ. But we thank our brothers, both of our father, son, had a good weekend for father, son.
Yes.
You know, and we just appreciate them coming by and being with us. They'll be traveling on tomorrow and going on up home and getting everything done. So you pray for them.
Amen.
Pray that the Lord would just bless them and everything like that, okay? All right. They say they have a little food downstairs, right?
For the visitors.
Now, so that means that don't you go down there and get you something. You go get you something to eat and come back. Well, just plain, just do what you're told to do, you know. It's not for us, it's for the visitors only. So this, we want to feed them and we can be on our way and do it. Have a little time of fellowship together. Amen. But just make sure you tell our brothers, Brother Chris and Brother Ronnie, how much you appreciate them. Because we believe it. We believe they believe it. And we thank God for it. We thank our brother back there. I can't never remember his name. Terrence called him Mr. Magoo, I think.
He ain't Charmin.
He's ugly. Charmin ain't Charmin. Okay, all right. But we appreciate him coming and being with us. He's been with us all weekend. We've had a good time and all, and I pray that the girls had a good time on your trips and everything. And all of us guys, we had a great time just sitting around taking it easy and just eating. And then we'd sit around, take it easy, and we'd eat some more. So then Bob gets a big old steak. We go out to eat our Friday night, and he gets his steak. That plate was that big, and it was just hanging off. And he eats a little bitty center of it. And we're still eating breakfast the next morning and breakfast the next morning off of that steak of his. So, but we stole it from him because he didn't. You know, do it. We just appreciate everything. Anything to be said before we go? Sister Regina.
We thank God for our Father and Son every week.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. We've got our family here, and that's what we want. Amen. So let's just pray, and then, like I said, we'll go downstairs, and the visitors can eat, and the other can just fellowship around what you want to for the time, Lord. And just pray that God would bless and take care of all of us. Father, we thank you. We've had a wonderful time this week and weekend that we've been able to just sit back and relax and just talk about you and just fellowship one with another and just have a good time in all that we've done. And Lord, you took care of us. You took care of everybody because there were so many cars looking like yesterday of how many, 20 cars are almost there where we were at. This and the sisters going their way with their amount of cars and all. And you brought everybody back home. And everybody was safe and everything's taken care of. We pray that you'd bless Brother Chris and Brother Ronnie tomorrow and their families and all as they travel on in their journey and that you'd have your way with each and every one of us. We love you and we thank you. Sanctify the food that's there for us to eat alone and just have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.